Church, say amen. Everybody ought to say amen this morning, because God has blessed you once again. And don't think that it's because you have been so good either. It's because God is good to us. Thank God that He has seen fit to lengthen out our lives for at least one more part of one more day. So let us be ever grateful to God for that. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O everlasting and wonderful Heavenly Father, You are the great God of heaven and earth. You are the Creator and the Maker of all things. You made us. You made this world that we live in. You made this earth that we live upon. You have given us our health and our strength, or at least a reasonable portion of it. You have given us food, shelter, and clothing. And Father, we just want to say thank you. Father, we come this morning as we pray for those this morning who may be sick and shut in, those who are not able to be here with us this morning. I noticed that a couple of folks that I can think off the top of my head are missing, and we're just praying, and we pray for the Lewis family that you will bring them back once again when the time is right, O Heavenly Father. And we pray for Brother McReynolds as things may be going not so well with him. And we're just praying, O Lord, that you continue to bless each and every one of us. Bless those who may be sick and in the hospital, or those who may be sick and at home. Bless those who still may be on their way, O Heavenly Father. And bless those brethren that have taken part in the services thus far. And bless those who shall come beyond this point. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all is well in that seems well, at least, O Lord. But, Father, we know that the world is full of troubles and full of hot spots. We know that there are things going on in the world that we need to be aware of, and that we need to be in constant prayer that you may take care of these situations, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, and please continue to bless those who are raising up their children this morning. Bless those parents who are doing the best that they can. Give them the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to go on. And bless those couples who are married, O Heavenly Father, that they may do the best that they can in raising those children. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and bless the leaders of this congregation, this local congregation, and their families, that they may continue to do that which is upon your will, O Lord. Thank you for each and every member here this morning, and thank you once again, O Heavenly Father, for the churches all over that are trying to do your will. This morning, O Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to be here and to be among those in the audience this morning, because your word this morning is all powerful. And Father, we just pray that this message can get across this morning. And we pray and ask you, kind Heavenly Father, when we have done all that we can do, when it is our time to be called, let us just continue to remember that it was your Son who came to this world to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. Please, Father, continue to bless us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
This morning, from the scripture that was read for your hearing from Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the verse is number 29. The Bible says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." This morning, I like the question. The text is in the form, the subject is in the form of a question. Have we forgotten God? Have we forgotten God? We live in a world of ever evolving technologies. We have all kinds of devices these days. We have devices that do things we used to do by hand. Devices that make our lives easier. Devices that sometimes make our lives more complicated. Sometimes the devices that we use today in order to do what we once did by hand, it takes it a lot less time to do but is not as accurate sometimes. But where or what has this meant to the person using all of this technology? Well, many say that it allows them to concentrate on other more important matters at hand. But my question to that becomes, whatever happened to the days when the most important thing you were doing was what you were actually doing and not setting aside time to remember to do it again, all over again? Now, I don't want anyone to think that I'm against technology, because technology is a wonderful thing. Technology is a great thing. And I thank God for technology, because now I can sit on my couch with my feet up on my ottoman and never have to get up to change the television. I can record a program while I'm watching another and go back, which I don't have time to go back and watch it all over again in the first place. But technology has moved so far ahead that sometimes we rush to get the newest technology before the old technology is really old. What I'm more concerned about today, though, is our churches and our services. Are we giving God the best that we can? And how many times has someone in the audience, how many times have their iPhone gone off during service? Or how many times has someone been guilty of sneaking a peek at their iPads or iReaders when their mind should be focused on the great I Am? One question comes to mind when I think of all this technology. Is that all this time that we have, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with this newfound time? We have GPS systems to keep us from getting lost, and it gets us to where we need to be or where we want to be without getting us lost. But apparently these GPS systems don't work on Sunday mornings, because they can't seem to find their way from your house to the church house. So I wonder sometimes, with all of this technology in mind, with all of these things that we have, with all of these wonderful inventions that we have come up with, and with the evolving of new technology as we go, what have we done about God? What are we doing about God? Now, I know that many congregations are into the technology age, and They use technology to promote their services, to promote programs in their services, and all is well and good. But I'd like to ask the question once again, have we put all this technology in front of the God that we serve? Have we just left God out of the picture, and technology has become more of the picture than God has become? So then there are a couple of things I want to look at this morning, and you all have to excuse me because my voice hasn't been good all this past week. I've been sick this week, and I'm going to do the best that I can, but you'll excuse me if my voice fails me a little bit, but hopefully it'll last. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes speaks in verse number 29 there that the preacher had been looking for some things, and he said, in verse number 25, all those things he was looking for, he says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Isn't that what we're doing? We're seeking out so many inventions today. Every time one thing is invented, we want to know, can we improve upon that invention? Every time one thing is brought forth, we look to bring another thing forth. And sometimes, frankly, many of us, and me included, we just can't keep up with it. We can't keep up with it, but I like what he said. He said, "But that God has made man upright, but it's them, man, in other words, who sought out these many inventions." Ecclesiastes speaks a lot on vanity, and he has some wise thoughts to share with us. And I find one particular thought of interest. If you look in that seventh chapter at verse number 13, he says one thing there. He says, "Consider the work of God." That's what we need to do. We need to consider the work of God. "Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked?" So we can invent a road building machine to straighten out the curves of life, to straighten out the roads that we travel on. But if God sets something up, we can't straighten it out. Yes, we can make a straight path out of a crooked path. But if God set it up, we can't do anything about it when it comes to life and living itself. We can't change our lives so much. We can stop doing some of the things we used to do, but we can't make ourselves get over what God has put us in other words. That's what I'm trying to say. Consider what God has put in place that we can't change or alter. We must do the best with what He has given us. In some of our religious body today, men have tried to cover up sin. Even in the Church of Christ, we use what we consider to be politically correct language today, as it's called. Politically correct language means to describe things. For example, we say it was a mistake, but God calls it a sin. And we must be willing to accept God's way. Sin destroys people. It destroys life. And I want you to note how the Word of God describes sin in 1 John chapter 3 and the verses number 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Sin destroys the soul, according to James chapter 1 and verse 14 and verse 15. When you look at James 1, verse 14 and 15, it says, man is tempted where he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But then in verse 15 it says, but then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So yes, technology does have a place in life. But not as a way that we forget about where God has put us. Technology is good as long as it does not cause us to forget where we have come from or where we may be going or where we are going. It just depends on how we live our lives. Our focus should be on God, and our focus should be nowhere else. Now, I'm not saying that to say that anyone should not concentrate on their jobs. I'm not saying that anyone should not concentrate on their family life. And I'm not saying that anyone should not concentrate on the things that are important in life. But just remember what is most important in life. And that is the fact that God matters in our lives. We must learn to present the Savior the way the Bible presents Him. His image should not be a computerized face on some website set up by someone who may not even know God's life, who may not even know God, nor know His lineage that we can find in Matthew chapter 1. How that his earthly father was not really his father after all. How that the Holy Ghost gave the Mother Mary a virgin birth of the Holy Spirit. How that the Holy Spirit gave Mary a virgin birth. How that it was to be the teaching of a Savior who would be coming to save this world. Because He was born not the way of most children. He was born that of a virgin birth in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. There's a description of His conception, that of the Holy Spirit. He was a child at the age of 12 who went about teaching and to the professional men who were older than him. In Luke chapter 2, he taught at age 12, verses 43 through verse number 46. We must present Jesus as sinless, but yet He was offered to bear the sins of many in Hebrews 9:28. How that He saved His people with His own blood. And we must learn to accept the fact that Jesus can save us still today. We must present Jesus not as one who was, but instead as one who is our Lord and Savior. Preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ should be the highest priority of any religious body. We cannot align ourselves with other things. We must align ourselves with the teaching of the gospel of Christ, which can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No computer program needed. Just preach the gospel. Teach it to those who will hear and try to reach those who are not willing to hear, but try to teach them anyway. They may be willing to accept it if you teach them long enough. Technology has caused many to fall through the cracks, if you will. Technology, some tend to think that when long as I got technology on my side, I no longer have to go to church anymore. I can just go stay at home and worship God in my PJs. I can worship God on my computer. But then when you go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly together, the assembly of ourselves together, I should say. When I'm at home and I'm on my computer and you're here at church, we're not together. So if we're not together, we're disobeying the scriptures that said we are to assemble ourselves together. We are supposed to be like-minded. I heard, I believe it was somebody in the Bible class this morning spoke about having the one mind and having the same thoughts. And so the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be like-minded with one love, being of one accord and of one mind. That's the way Christians who have not forgotten God are supposed to be. We must also remember that we are to present Jesus in His salvation. The day Jesus died upon the cross, He bore the sins of the whole world, but He did not have to. In Matthew chapter 26, around verse number 53 and 54, we find what Jesus could have did. In verse number 53, all He had to do was petition to His Father, and help would have been sent Him. But instead, in verse number 54, He said, "How then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" This is the same Jesus. The same Jesus that we serve today. We need that same attitude that He had. For if we should be of a same mind, that we should be willing to serve the Lord, whether people laugh at us or talk about us or not. For example, let's call it zeal. What is zeal? Well, it's being enthusiastic. It's full of energy and for your chosen endeavor. Zeal is what wakes up a sleeping church house. Now, I didn't mean to wake up anybody this morning, but if zeal is what's needed, we can wake up a sleeping church. If zeal is what we need to do, we need to have that zeal so that we can get out and spread the word of the Lord. But on the other hand, coming out to church, it takes some effort. Coming out to church to serve the Lord takes some effort. But anybody can stay at home and push a button on a keypad. Zeal is being like Peter in Luke chapter 24, where he was running to see the empty tomb of Christ. Or like Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 30, where he ran to explain the gospel to the eunuch. Yes, church, there are times when modern day technology, technical advances are great. But when one's friends find that it's more exciting to play with his newfound technology than to come to church, someone has forgotten God. Someone has forgotten God. When we forget God, what do we have left? When we forget God, when we forget about God, what's left for us? When we think about it, church, without the Lord, where would we be? And I ask this question quite frequently. Where would we be without the help of the Lord? Where would we be if God was not there for us when we needed Him to be there? And I know many of us, we pray on a daily basis. We pray and ask the Lord to be there for us because we are having problems. And it may be because you're on your sick bed. It may be because you're going through financial difficulties. It may be because you're going through marital stress or emotional strain, but whatever the case may be, we ask God to be there for us. But then when God gets there for us and He pulls us through the situation, many times we don't pay Him back. We don't come to church. We say, "Lord, my problem is done now, so I really don't need to go to church." And maybe you say, "Well, I would never say that." Well, your action speaks louder than your words. If you have been in a situation where you need the Lord, you know how blessed it is when the Lord finds your situation and remedies your situation. But then we need to continue to give back to Him. And there are those who would, for instance, say, well, I understand that I need to serve the Lord, but I'm not ready. And I tell you this quite frequently, I'm not ready. Well, when will you be ready? When will you get ready? When will you make it known that I'm ready? Will you have to be brought in on a stretcher, taken into a hospital on a stretcher, I should say, and laid up for a while before you realize you need the Lord each and every day? I speak this morning of the Church of Christ. I speak this morning that the Church of Christ is where we need to be at. I speak this morning because the Church of Christ is the only church that we can find in God's Bible, in the New Testament Bible, in the New Testament of God, of Jesus Christ. I speak this morning because He spoke of the church. He spoke of the church that the Lord, that He gave His life for in Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. I speak of the church that He purchased with His own blood in Acts 20 and 28. I speak of the church which the Lord built in Matthew 16 and verse number 18. I speak of the house which was proposed or prophesied, I should say, in chapter 2 of Isaiah and verse number 2. The church was bought by Jesus, designed by Jesus for a purpose that He provided for us for, that it may provide the good news for all the world to see and for all the world to know about, I should say. And when you think about it, when you look at the church itself, does the church have troubles? I don't know of a church that doesn't have troubles. I don't know of a church that doesn't go through ups, downs, and changes, and churches that have its turmoils within its rank. I don't know of a church in the world that doesn't have situations that need to be remedied on pretty much a frequent basis. No matter how often we hear the message about forgetting about Christ, the message, no matter how often it's taught, no matter how many times it's preached, it's never too much. The responsibility of the church is to keep the message in our hearts and minds. Remember that what the Ecclesiastic writer said in verse number 29, he said, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Are we over-inventing ourselves, church? Are we causing out? You know, I've never had so much information given to me in my life. And I know some of you are a little older than me, perhaps. But so much information is given to us these days. And be quite frankly, sometimes I don't want to hear it. How many doctor shows are on TV right now telling you all about if you don't eat this or you don't drink that, you're going to die? Well, we're going to die anyway, but I understand we want to try to put the right things in our bodies. But sometimes putting the right things in our bodies, then misusing our bodies by not serving the Lord, is not good either. There are shows on about everything that you can think of today. And if you don't get it on your TV set, then you can pick up any publication these days and you can find articles about this and articles about that. And when I look back at it, during my growing up years, and I'm sure many of you all have this same thought in mind, during many of our growing up years, we couldn't find the information that we needed at all. They wouldn't release that information. Now they're saying, come on and get this information. So man has come up with many new inventions or many inventions to bring stuff to us that we used to didn't have. But has it caused us to forget about the Savior? Has it caused us to misuse the Savior? Has it caused us to ignore our families by not doing the right thing with our families? And I remember growing up, every so often, my father got in a good mood, and I guess I call it a good mood, and he said, "Everybody is going to church today." But I remember growing up myself, and I thought about it over the years, and I said, as soon as I get old enough, I'll be able to make a decision on my own whether I want to go to church or not. I'll be able to decide if every Sunday is the right Sunday or just some Sundays are the right Sundays. And then I asked the question later on in life, if God has set it up that man should be in church, then that's where man ought to be. I remember that reading in the Bible where many times I didn't understand things, and I had to ask somebody to help me to understand this thing a little better. God has put things in place for us to read and to get an understanding of it. But many times you may not get a good understanding of it. That's why you got a telephone. Call somebody and ask somebody to give you a little help. Call somebody and ask somebody, can you explain this scripture to me? Can you help me to understand what God is trying to say to me? With all of these inventions that man are seeking out, that man has seeked out, where, oh where, is any of them greater than God Himself? And I can't think of any of them that are greater than God Himself. Only He can save us. Only God is the Savior. Nothing in the tech world can save us. Now, I know, I understand that for children going, well, I won't say just children, but for people going to school, the computer is a lifesaver. Because I remember you used to have to go to the library and get all your information. Now you just sit at home and the information comes to you by a keyboard and a screen. I remember when I was growing up, the thing that we had to use were called Encyclopedia Britannicas. And they were so expensive. And I remember that sometimes there were times when my father couldn't afford to give us a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas. So we'd go to the library and we'd use the encyclopedias in the library. And I thought that encyclopedias were so nice to have. I thought that encyclopedias were such a wonderful invention. But now, the kids can see a picture with their words now. They go on the computer and not only can they get up the answer to the question, but they can go further and they can research it even further and get a background of who said what and why they said what and where were they when they said that. But I'd like for us to be cautious this morning. I'd like for us to learn to be content with what God has given us. I'd like for us to accept the fact that we don't need a lot of brand new inventions. Oh, and once again, don't get me wrong, inventions are good. But we must learn to accept the fact that God is God and He always will be God. No matter what we think about it, no matter how far we go in this life, God will always be the same God. He has not changed anything in this life for us. He has not told us on one occasion to do one thing and then on another occasion to do something else. God has always been the same. His Word and His Bible was the same hundreds of years ago as they are today. And you may try to forget God, many people do, but that doesn't change God. He is still God. Many people have said, well, if I just hide my Bible in a shelf somewhere, nobody will know that I use the Bible from time to time. God knows. If I put the Bible out, I look really good when you come by my house because I got a big Bible sitting on my living room table. But soon as you leave, I put the Bible back and put my feet up on the table instead of the Bible. But no matter how far you go in this life, no matter how many inventions come our way, no matter how much new technology comes into this world, you will never be able to out-technolize God. And then, when all is said and done, when we have done all that we can do to try to beat God, guess who still wins? God still will be the winner. And the only thing that I can tell any and all people who would ask the question is, what's going to happen to me? The only way I can answer that, what's going to happen to me, is that one day you're going to die. I can guarantee you that you're going to die. I don't know the outcome of your death when the judgment comes, but I know you're going to die. Oh, and I'm just like everybody else. I wish many times that we didn't have to die. But dying is a part of living. How many times have you been to funerals and you've seen the sad look on family members and loved ones' eyes? And you try to explain to them that this is only a part of what they had to go through, and it's also going to be a part of what you're going to have to go through. How many times have you tried over and over to tell yourself, I know that I need God, but I'm going to battle Him for just a little while longer? How many times have you said to yourself, I know I need the Lord, but I got something better going on in my life right now? But I'll tell you something, my time is about up. And I'll tell you this much, that no matter how far in this life you go, there's going to be a period put at the end of your name. That means your time is up. The line that started at this point is only going to go to a certain point, and then there's going to be a period added. That means it's over. And the only thing that's going to matter is, how did you live that life? Did you try living that life serving God, or did you try living it without serving God? Did you forget God? And so the question becomes, well, I would like to serve God a little better. I would like to know God better. What can I do? How do I become a part of the life of Jesus Christ? How do I get Him into my life? Well, you come to the Church of Christ. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And then those who are already members in the Lord's body, but they've gone astray. And contrary to popular belief, Christians do go astray. You ask God to forgive you. Then you come forward, ask the church to pray for you. And I know there are some folk who don't like to stand up before the church to ask the church to pray for them. They feel that it's not. I'm kind of ashamed to ask the Lord to stand in front of the church and ask the church to pray for me. But if you are ashamed before the men, God will be ashamed before His Father of you. Just remember that. So if you don't know God, or you have forgotten Him, now is the very best time of all to come back to Him as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hymn is 421.